Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other."
Thanks, Ali. Before we begin, should we bow our heads in prayer? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our prayer this afternoon is simple. And we pray that you would open our eyes so we could see wonderful things from your word. Amen. Well, I guess that summer period for business is probably a time of year where lots of us are experiencing lots of interns and work experience, people getting under our feet at work. Has anyone got that kind of experience? A few nods. So people coming along basically trying to work out. So if I'm, say, the property business, property world, say, what am I signing up for here? If I join it, what would life look like for me if I pursue a career in finance or property, whatever it is? You're trying to work out, you know, what the hour's going to be like, what's the pay going to be like, what's the team vibe going to be like, what's the atmosphere at work, what kind of lifestyle will I have? You know, what am I signing up for? What's it going to feel like? It's a question such interns will pose. A very sensible question to ask. I guess many will come to something like Midweek in Mayfair with a similar kind of question about Christianity. Interested, intrigued about Jesus, looking into things. There comes that point where you want to wonder, so what exactly am I signing up for here? So what would actually being a Christian, following Jesus, what would that feel like, look like in my life? Very sensible questions to ask. So myself, I'm trained to be a minister in a church, and that's a very common question I get and people asking me. What would it look like for me or feel like for me in the Christian life? Well, that's exactly the question Jesus answers really in today's passage. So in the middle of John here, Jesus is in the middle of speaking to his disciples. It's before he's died, and he's basically telling them when he goes, dies, and then rises again to go to be with the Father, what life will be like as a Christian for them, what life will be like. And he basically tells them that what it will feel like is like being pruned by a gardener. It will feel like being painfully pruned so that they'll produce the fruit of love. And so he says it's going to feel like a mix. On the one hand, a mix of painful pruning, and on the other hand, the feeling of being loved, sacrificially loved, and wanting to love. So there's a funny mix Jesus will pose to us today. So we'll consider these three. On the back side, you'll see 3 points. And our first one is a gardener to prune us. It's what Jesus promises. So have a look at verse 1. Jesus paints this helpful picture for us. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it'd be even more fruitful. And then verse 5 in the second paragraph, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is painting this picture for us of a vineyard. So kind of picture your mind in the south of France on a vineyard. And he says, so this picture, Jesus is the vine or the trunk. God the Father is the gardener with the kind of shears, the clippers. And the disciples or the Christians are like the branches coming out of the vine, out of the trunk. And obviously what the gardener wants, like any vineyard gardener, wants is fruit. Wants grapes, wants fruit. And so obviously, as every gardener knows, to get fruit, you have to prune branches. And so growing up, my parents had this kind of really old rose bush in the middle of our garden back home. And kind of every summer, this kind of year, it'd be lovely, lots of flowers coming out, different colours, kind of nice and tall, big flowers. And there was a slightly uncomfortable bit where towards the end of the summer, Dad would kind of cut this rose bush from about this big down to about here, this kind of spiky Bart Simpson hair looking stump. And was it rather ugly? Obviously the next year it would come up and it would grow even bigger and be even more flowers. That's just what pruning does. So a gardener prunes branches to make it fruitful. That's what a gardener does. And that's how God the Father cares for his disciples, his loved children. He prunes them to make them fruitful. So that is, God uses the painful things in our lives to change us. Make us fruitful. So we don't like pain, but we know sometimes it's good for us. So I think of the look on my little daughter's face when, aged 8 weeks old, she had her first ever injection. Up to that point, her life, basically her first 8 weeks, had been a whale of a time. She was born in August, so it was all sunny and it was very nice. All she'd known was kind of cuddles from mum and family and friends coming over, and 24/7. She wanted food, she got it. She wanted a snooze, she had it. You know, that was a whale of a time in life. And then one day her mum takes her to the doctor's surgery, hands her over to this nice smiling nurse who holds a syringe with a needle the size of her arm and puts it in her. And obviously an injection is a kind of a clear example of a loving parent putting a child through pain because it's good for them. So God prunes all of his loved children, all of them. The same way that the NHS will give every child, every baby in this country at 8 weeks old, injections to protect them. And so too, verse 2 says, God the Father will prune us. Every branch that bears fruit will be pruned. So God uses the painful things in our lives to change us. Sometimes God knows that's what it needs to take to change us. Perhaps our stubborn pride, self-sufficiency, wake us up to a lack of love, perhaps. But God does it for our good. So think, a nurse with a needle and a syringe cutting into a baby, that nurse is not a sadist, but like a surgeon. So you think, both a sadist and a surgeon might wield a knife. They might cut into you, they might cut into you deeply. But one does it to see someone in pain. The other one does it to cut out a cancerous growth. Or in the case of the nurse, to immunize against fatal diseases. So this good God, he prunes Christians for, verse 2, to be even more fruitful, the end of verse 2. So that is, to be even more Jesus-like in love. So those of us who are wondering, perhaps, with Christianity, what would I be signing up for? What would it be like? Well, actually, the first thing, expectations-wise, is be prepared to be pruned, sometimes painfully, but you can trust. It's always for good. So Jesus says life as a Christian will be like having a gardener to prune us. But a bit more about why. So what is this fruit he so wants from us? Well, I think there are two purposes here, our second two points. Firstly, he wants us to remain in his word, and secondly, to replicate his love. So firstly, to remain in his word. If you have a look at verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So Jesus wants us to remain in his word. So obviously for any branch on a vineyard, remaining united to the vine is crucial. Because he wants you, say, cut off the rose from the bush. goes to Sainsbury's, but it's going to die in a couple of days. And it's crucial to staying alive. And Jesus is saying branches should remain in the vine. And he's saying remaining in the vine for a Christian means remaining in Christ. So look at verse 4, where Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. And what does it mean to remain in Christ? It means to remain listening to his words. Listening to his words. So verse 7, just that first bit. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. Jesus is talking about listening to his words. So I have friends who just a few months ago were expecting their first baby. And a few weeks before their due date, they're in their flat in London. And the mother was started experiencing some pains. And they thought, probably nothing to worry about. Frankston Hicks, it's quite normal to have these kind of phantom pains. Thought it's probably nothing to worry about. And after a few hours in their flat, these kind of pains started coming quicker and quicker and being longer and longer. So they realised, okay, there's probably something up here. It might be that we're in labour. So they think, okay, it's probably time to go to the hospital. So the father gets his phone out and gets on the phone and speaks to the midwife and tells her what the symptoms are. And the midwife says to the father, the baby is going to arrive in the next 15 minutes. You do not have time to get to the hospital. The paramedics won't be here until 20 minutes time. You are going to have to deliver your baby. And I'm going to talk you through exactly how to do that. Never has a phone remained so glued to someone's ear as for that man. True story. That phone wasn't going anywhere. He's not going to be like, okay, pop the phone down. I'll just go on YouTube just to see if there's a better video around or like WikiHow or something like that, you know. Remains glued to the phone. And so for the next 15 minutes, he remained glued to that phone. As it happened, it's a true story, as it happens, the baby was born healthily, and by the time the paramedics arrived, the mother was back up on her feet and offered them a cup of tea. True story. So a Christian is someone who remains glued to Jesus' life-giving words. If you like, that phone is not going anywhere, you're glued to it. So the Christian is someone who is glued to the Bible, glued to God's word in the Bible. Someone who just doesn't want to be apart from that, remaining listening to God's word, remaining listening to Jesus. So someone who, Christian, someone who wants to listen to his words, wants to read the Bible for themselves, wants to come to somewhere like this where they can hear it preached, wants to go to somewhere like church on a Sunday where they can listen to God's word. So that's what it means to remain in his word, like glued to it. I heard Desert Island Discs a few years back had a comedian called Lee Mack. Comedian, kind of, have I got news for you, QI, that kind of comedian. And I don't think he called himself a Christian. You know, on Desert Island Discs, everyone who goes on is given the complete works of Shakespeare and the Holy Bible. And talking about that, he said, I'm glad you get the Bible, because I would read the Bible. I think it's quite odd that people like myself in their 40s are quite happy to dismiss the Bible, but I've never read it. I always think that if an alien came down and you were the only person they met and they said, what's life about? What's earth about? Tell us everything. And you said, well, there's a book here that purports to tell you everything. Some people believe it to be true. Some people don't believe it to be true. Wow, what's it like? And you go, I don't know. I've never read it. It'd be an odd thing, wouldn't it? So at the very least, read it. Quite strong, isn't it? Yes, he's got a point, hasn't he? It'd be odd, given here how important Jesus thinks his words are. He thinks they're so important. It'd be odd, as an adult, to go through a whole adult life and never having read a gospel for yourself. So if that's you, I'd really encourage you to. There's some free copies of Mark's gospel just on the table as you leave there. Please do pick one up, have a read of it. So the Christian life, what am I signing up for? Firstly, pruning, even if it's painful. Pruning so you remain glued to his word. And lastly, replicating his love. So obviously what the gardener wants in the branches is fruit. And this fruit of listening to his words, what will that actually look like in life, kind of practically speaking? What will that look like when I'm not here at midweek in Mayfair? Jesus says it will look like love. So if you look at verse 12 to 13 in that third paragraph and halfway through, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So reading in the papers, I heard lots of stories recently after the absolute tragedy of Grenfell Tower, or stories of sacrificial love. I read in the Metro about one man, Jody Martin, who he was living in the building opposite when he was woken up at 1 a.m. By the noise, and by which point the flames were high already. His reaction was he grabbed a fire axe from his hallway and ran over to the building. He entered through a fire exit. He ran up to the second floor. He carried an elderly couple who couldn't get down the stairs. He carried them out of the door, out into safety, to clean air, before he himself was overcome by the smoke. So he risked his own life to save others. We've seen lots of examples of that, haven't we, with the fire services the last week or two. And verse 13, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus Christ left the safety of heaven to come down and lay down his life for us. So he gave up his own life to save others. So if you like, when he died on the cross, Jesus went into the fire and smoke of sin and death, actually that we might be pulled out to the safety of forgiveness and eternal life. That is how much Jesus loves you and me. That is the depth of love. There is no greater love than to have someone die for you. And there is no greater, more costly death than Jesus' death for sin. So this is the greatest possible love you can know. And a Christian is someone who knows this personally in their lives. You have that emotional experience of being loved. I feel like that's what you're signing up for. Knowing you're loved so much by Jesus that he would lay down his life for you. So why wouldn't I believe in that? And actually that experience of being loved is powerful. It's powerfully transforming. And a normal experience, I guess, in London with your neighbours is, at best, you might know their name. If you're in very good relationships, you might say hello to them in the lift. That's normally as far as it goes. But imagine if you were that couple, which a man like Jody Martin had pulled out of that burning building. Imagine how that would transform how you treated him when you happened to be in the lift together. Imagine how that would transform how you responded when he asked if you'd mind feeding his cat when you were on a holiday. It's a deeply transforming power to love. Experiencing sacrificial love is powerfully transforming. And so that's why Jesus says in verse 12, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." If you like, that is the fruit, the grapes on the end of the branch in this vineyard. Love. Jesus-like sacrificial love. So the Christian life at its ripest, at its healthiest, at its fullest, feels like being loved. It feels like being loved by Jesus. And it feels like being loved by his church, other disciples, Christians. So it feels like being loved. And it feels like being love to other people. So it feels like wanting to contribute to other people's lives. It feels like wanting to help those who are in need, wanting to actually sacrifice something on my own for others. If it's my energy, my money, my time. Actually, I want to do that because, oh man, I know how much Jesus has loved me. The sacrifice he's gone to for me. So actually, the Christian has a very deep power to love. And actually, it's deeper than, I guess, a sense of duty, you know, a sense of, it's just the right thing to do here. It's deeper than that. And it's deeper than that, I guess, perhaps a sense of personal fulfillment of, you know, I like the feeling of helping people. It's deeper than that. It's the deep power of knowing Jesus Christ loves you so much that he would lay down his life for you. And that compels a Christian to love, that sense of, well, why wouldn't I? So if you like, what am I signing up for with Christianity if I'm kind of looking in, dipping my toe in the water? What would it feel like? Well, three things. Firstly, being pruned. Sometimes it will be painful. But you've got to know this gardener is good. Like a nurse with an injection. God is a surgeon, not a sadist. Being pruned. Remaining glued to his word. You know, I will do what I can to remain glued to his word. This is a life-giving word. And thirdly, replicating his love especially above all else, the Christian life feels like being loved, experience being pulled out of a burning building. So that means I want to love others as I've been loved. Actually, that is powerfully transforming. And that is the life Jesus Christ offers anyone who comes to him. Should we pray as we close? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your deep love for us. Give us faith to trust you. Trust you through being pruned, even when it feels very painful and we can't see why. That we would trust your word and we remain glued to it. And that we trust, knowing love, that we would be love. And Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.